Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. And thank you, Nat King Cole, for that all-time classic song. It is my second favorite Christmas song. I will not tell you what my first one is. You'll have to listen to the Christmas special next week to find that out. You do know, of course, that song was written by the late and wonderful Mel Torme. Most people don't know that. So we have the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, and since we're going to have so much fun, I'm going to skip the usual introduction and just say welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's open mic, and that means my guests get to do what they want. So I am going to turn over the show to you, Dr. Weberman. And by the way, just so we do know, you can find Dr. Weberman at theparentingplayground.com, and we'll remind you again at the end of the segment. What would you like to share with us today?
You'd be surprised. I'm going to share with you about slot machines.
Okay.
I know, you're surprised. So part of the work that I do as a psychologist and a parent coach is that parents come to me when their child has some sort of, you know, disruptive or inappropriate behavior that they want to work to extinguish. For example, whining, big messy tantrums, throwing fits over things. And when they come to me, they always say to me, you know, I know that being consistent and following through is really important, and I do that. And he's whining and throwing fits anyway. And I have them really look at, okay, what does it mean to be consistent? I mean, like, most of the time, I'm not giving in. If I say no and he throws a fit, I don't turn the no into a yes. I keep it a no. Yeah, you know, sometimes if I'm feeling tired, if we're in public and he's making a scene, maybe I will. But I would say usually I'm pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I let them know that the usually pretty good about it is actually the source of the issue, and most parents don't know that. So I liken it to a slot machine. So if you picture yourself, I'm on the East Coast, so I'm going to picture myself in Atlantic City,
okay.
And I'm walking through the casino, and I see all these people sitting at slot machines, and they're pulling the handle and pulling the handle. They can sit there all day.
Mm-hmm.
And what has that behavioral addiction be so strong when there's actually no chemical or drug involved? It's not like a nicotine addiction or a drug addiction. It's a behavioral addiction. And the answer is because the reward or the reinforcement is on what we call in psychology an intermittent reinforcement schedule, which means you don't have to get the payoff all the time. In fact, it's more exciting because you only get the payoff every once in a while, and you never know when it's going to come. So it's like you pull the handle. Is this the time it's going to pay off? Is this the time it's going to pay off? And eventually it does pay off, and it keeps you going for more. And what I explain to parents is your children see you as a slot machine. You don't have to pay off every once in a while, but the fact that every once in a while you do pay off is what has the behavior strengthen and gain momentum.
Wow.
So you're sitting there in the checkout line of the supermarket where all the candy bars are, and your five-year-old's like, I want a candy bar, and you say no. I want it, I want it, I want it. They start to escalate, they start to throw a fit, and you're like, okay, you can have it this time, but usually we're not going to do this, and only this one time. And you think to yourself, well, you know, that was only once in a while, but your kid remembers, ah, this whining thing really works. I think I'm going to try that more and more.
That's a wonderful analogy. I hope you're going to write a blog about this.
It's my next blog. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay, I mean, but don't do it while it's fresh. Do it while it's fresh. My wife has learned how to say no to me all the time. So she doesn't have that problem. I wish I could pull something on her once in a while. When she's made up her mind, no, and I'm not referring to sex necessarily. In fact, not at all, really. But just when she's made up her mind, she knows how to be consistent. Why can't parents be like that?
Well, you're a father of two boys. Do you remember when they were younger and they used to throw fits and whine and have tantrums, how that was for you?
Excuse me? It's never changed. My 16-year-old is the greatest whiner of all. Yes, of course I do. And I did. And your description, unfortunately, fits me to a T. What happens for most parents is the giving in is because you just get worn out. So you get lazy. And, of course, that only makes the problem worse, which obviously is what you're trying to teach your clients.
Mm-hmm.
and our listeners, but I remember the times that I've given in, and I know, and I when I'm giving in at the moment, I'm screaming in my head, "Don't! You know this doesn't work," and yet I do it anyway.
Because you get reinforced, just like your child gets reinforced for whining and getting what he wants, you get reinforced equally because the whining temporarily stops. Hmm. They give you the thing you're demanding, the whining stops, and then you get the pleasure of having the whining stop, and you get reinforced.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting.
It's easier said than done, but I know a lot of parents struggle with, you know, especially what's happening in public. It's really embarrassing when everyone's staring at you and you imagine they're thinking such horrible things about you and your parenting style. I think parents really are inconsistent most likely in public places because of that fear of what people are thinking of them or of their child.
Yeah, I think that's very true. It's very true. Well, it's a wonderfully interesting analogy. In that regard, we've been talking about surviving the holidays, and of course that was a topic at Dad Chat last night, of which you were a great contributor, and we talked about it last week on the radio show. Are there any other tips that you've thought of since then and since last week's Dad Chat that might be of value to our listeners, given this is the last show of this calendar year and Christmas and New Year's are almost upon us?
Yeah, you know, some of the things that we were talking about in Dad Chat that night, you know, the commercialism of the holidays has become so, I don't know, sometimes I feel like we're so much saturated with it. And it becomes about, you know, what am I going to get? What am I going to buy the materialistic piece of that for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for this whole time of year? In fact, the kids that I work with, when I ask them what they're most excited about, they're like, oh, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. It's get.
It's not about family time or meals or seeing relatives. It's about possessions.
Yeah, the traditions and, you know, the family quality time together. And so I would just say that although the presents are definitely a special and exciting part of the holidays, you can use this opportunity to create family traditions that take place this time of year, whether it be you volunteer together or you all pool your money together and donate it to a charity or a cause, you adopt a family and you buy them Christmas presents. I think it's so important that there's that balance between getting and contributing and then also just the pleasure of the time together. Someone in Dad Chat, I can't remember who it was, maybe you remember, talked about just putting down the phone, putting down the camera.
That was Lois. Lois Howell.
So great. Sometimes we're trying so hard to capture a moment on film that we're not actually in the moment.
Yes.
And the moment passed us by and we saw it through the lens of a camera, and how wonderful would it be to put that down and just actually join in the spirit of the moment.
I think that's true. I think another thing that came up that was very interesting, and I believe I included in the column, was the fact that especially kids, they won't remember many of the toys they got, but they will remember the special times they had. So Pastor Drew's family is getting together in Portland, Oregon this Christmas time at a cabin of a relative's. And that experience is going to be a lot stronger for all the kids that are going to be there. There's going to be a lot of kids. I mean, his baby's too young to have a memory of what's going on. But that memory of kind of that special time in the cabin in the mountains in the cold with the fireplace, and in my case, I happen to love the holiday music this time of year. That memory is going to be a heck of a lot stronger than any of those things that they're going to get, which will probably be broken, gone, forgotten, given away, soon after the new year begins. So I do agree. It's about making memories, not about getting things. One of the things about getting older is I've become so less interested in getting things, little things. I mean, little gifts, I just don't even care about. I do care about the occasional big thing. I mean, I treated myself to a new car this year, first time in 7 years. But for the most part, I just don't care. I mean, when it comes to clothes, my wife just makes me throw out certain things. I'm going, what's wrong with these jeans? So what that they have 100 rips in them? They're comfortable. That's one of the things about getting older is I'm really not as concerned or interested at all. But my boys are. They're still very, very materialistically driven. And I think that's part of their age. It's interesting. So,
and there's nothing wrong with that as long as there's some balance to it. It's wonderful to enjoy clothes and to enjoy gadgets and all the, you know, bells and whistles. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when it's balanced with other things, it keeps us in balance.
Well, that's the key in everything in life, balance.
Yeah.
So I want you to know that my Hanukkah is not yet balanced because I have not had a latke yet.
Me neither. And we had that whole conversation last week.
I love my wife dearly, and she's a great cook. So I ask her the first night, can you make some latkes? And she finds a recipe. And I get home right as she's about to fry them. And what had she done? She had taken the oil for frying and mixed it into the potato batter. And I said to her, no, you can't do that. You've got to have a layer of oil, heat up that oil hot, and then fry it. She goes, well, I don't understand. If I just mixed it in, and it took me a while to actually convince her, no, you don't understand. And there'll just be these soggy oil things. And she's a great, great, great cook. But the potato pancake thing, she didn't get. So she got.
Didn't have a puppy.
Yeah, she right. So she just dumped it and kind of gave me a dirty look and got over it quickly. but the point is, I still haven't had my latkes.
What are we going to do about this?
Well, I'm going to a friend's house Sunday. It's technically after Hanukkah's over. She's having a Hanukkah party, and she's a lousy cook, but I know there'll at least be some there. And maybe Debbie, maybe you could email Debbie or tweet her. She doesn't look at tweet. Maybe I could beg her. I'm taking her out for lunch today, so maybe if I can sweet talk her, maybe she'll make potato pancakes one of the next two nights.
My fingers are crossed for you.
I hope so. All right, I hope I will see you with Dad Chat tonight. Very quickly remind our listeners where they can find you.
TheParentingPlayground.com is the blog, and on Facebook, we're there under the same name, and on Twitter, I'm DR_Weberman with 1B.
Okay, that's 1B for Weberman. Thank you, Dr. Jennifer. I look forward to seeing you tonight at Dad Chat and speaking with you again in the new year.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be right back after this, these messages with some closing comments.
In the way, I know her, in the